Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I'm not sure how far I'm going to get in this passage this morning. I may run out of time. So I was going to split the passage, read the passage as I go with my notes this morning in case I run out of time. So we're going to read the passage in three different sections, beginning with verse 7. But just as a reminder, remember in verse 1, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And then David had many sons born while he was there in Hebron. Verse 6, and it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Verse 7, and Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him. Excuse me. Even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee, to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, go, return. And he returned. We'll stop right there. And let's pray before we start this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I expound on this passage, Lord. I pray that you give me the words to say. Fill my mouth with your words and your power, Lord. I pray that you would be present among us as your word is preached. Father, I pray that you would bless each one here today. Meet every need spiritually, Lord. And I pray, Father, that if there's one here today that does not know you as their Savior, they would come to recognize their lost condition, and they would bow their knee to you today and accept you as their Savior. Father, I pray that you would encourage us, challenge us, and convict us where we need to be convicted, I pray. Bless now this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So, in this section, the title of the message is The Fall of Abner. But this first section, my point here that I see most of all is behavior toward women. And young people, especially young men here this morning, our behavior needs to be above reproach toward women. We see, first of all, that Abner's relationship to Ishbosheth was not just damaged, okay? I want you to notice this. Abner's relationship to Ishbosheth was not just damaged. It was destroyed by his relationship to a woman, or how he had behaved toward a woman. And notice that Abner, the Bible does not tell us if Abner is guilty or not. Okay? It says that Ishbosheth accused Abner of being guilty of this. The Bible never says that if Abner did it or did not. But the Bible says there was an accusation given against Abner. And it was an accusation alone that destroyed the relationship between Abner and Ishbosheth. Young man, we need to take note. All it takes is a little bit of impropriety to create an accusation, and your integrity can be destroyed. Your relationship with other people can be destroyed. Okay? Take a lesson from Abner and Ishbosheth here. Abner may have been innocent. Abner may have been guilty. We don't know. But all it was an impropriety that Abner had taken with a woman. Maybe he got a little bit too friendly with her. Maybe that was all. But then an accusation was made and it destroyed Abner's relationship to his nephew, his king. To his not his nephew. Saul was his nephew. This is his grandnephew, Ishbosheth. Our behavior needs to be above reproach. And Abner's behavior, whether he was guilty or innocent, it apparently was not above reproach. And Abner was destroyed here in the Israelite kingdom, if you will. His standing was destroyed in that kingdom by an accusation. We need to behave above reproach toward the women in our lives. The women in our families, of course, but the women in our church, the women we come in contact with just passing by. Our behavior must be above reproach. You can destroy your life, young men, simply by allowing yourself to have an accusation given. Getting into a situation where where you were just a little too friendly to a young lady. And an accusation is given, you can destroy your life, you can destroy your family, you can destroy your testimony. It takes just a couple seconds. You may think that everything is going wonderful. Maybe you will be, young men, you'll be married one day. You'll have a wife who loves you. You'll have kids. And you meet someone and you were a little too friendly for a couple seconds. But you think nothing of it. And a few days later, you think your life is going wonderfully. And an accusation is given. And your marriage is destroyed. Your children's trust in you is destroyed. Your life goes from what you thought was going fine to in a couple seconds it's destroyed. It's messed up. It's ruined. Because of your behavior toward someone, toward another woman. We must behave above reproach toward all the women we come in contact with. When the Bible says, young men, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, it is not just good advice. Okay? The converse of that statement, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, would be true. It is bad for a man to touch a woman. Okay? The converse of that statement is true. It is not just good advice. It's good not to touch a woman. No, it is bad to touch a woman. Okay? Don't do it. By looking at the converse of that statement, you can understand then that that is a command. Do not touch a woman. All right? Let's look at David, though. Abner's relationship was reproachable. But let's look at David. He sins to Abner. Abner sins to David, and David replies, "Okay, I will make a league with you, but on one condition, you must return my wife. You must bring Michal back to me." Here we see David's sincerity toward his marital relationship to Michal as his first and most rightful wife. David did not divorce her. David simply had to leave because he was being chased as an outlaw, remember? And it was Saul who had taken Michal then and had given her away in marriage. I believe it says that here somewhere. No, I must be remembering another passage. Anyway, Saul had taken Michal and given her to another man, Phaltiel. But David's sincerity, I really did mean my vows. I really did love Michal. I was very sincere when I promised to be her husband and that she would be mine for until death do we part, if you will. He was very sincere, and he proves his sincerity here by his demand to Abner. Return my wife. She is rightfully mine. Now, I want you to notice, young men, Phaltiel's relationship to Michal. As you read this, you could kind of feel sad for Phaltiel. Let's read it again. Verse 15. And Ishbosheth sent and took her, Michal, from her husband, even from Phaltiel the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. So here, Phaltiel and his supposed wife Michal were just living their lives, and all of a sudden one day, Ishbosheth's men come and take Michal away, and Phaltiel's life is turned upside down. His wife, if you will, not really because she was David's wife, but his supposed wife was just ripped out from underneath him. You could feel sorry for Phaltiel. But what is the problem here? When he took her originally, when Phaltiel took her from Saul and accepted her as his wife, he knew that she was married to David. He knew that she was married to David. He knew that she rightfully belonged to him. He also knew that David was the next anointed king of Israel. God himself had anointed him. This was common knowledge in Israel. He knew that. He knew that one day David would be king. If he believed in God at all, he would have to admit that in his heart. So he had no one to blame for him but himself for the situation that he finds himself in. He had to know that one day her husband, who became king, wants her back. You see, Phaltiel, his relationship to Michal was one of a usurper, young men. He had usurped a position that he had no right to have. What does usurp mean? What is a usurper? It is one who takes a position deceitfully, illegally, or by force. That's what a usurper is. And Phaltiel took the position of Michael's husband, not only illegally, but sort of deceitfully, because David was kicked out as an outlaw. He had usurped that position. He had to have known that one day, after the next anointed king of Israel becomes king, he's going to have to give her back. He had no one to blame for his misery but himself. Young men, do not be a Phaltiel. Do not be a usurper. Usurpers must expect to be forced to back down. They must expect that. Do you understand, young men, that you can be a usurper in relationships by taking advantage of friendship? You can be a usurper in relationships with people by taking advantage of their friendship to you. Young men, do not set your heart on that to which you are not entitled. That's what Phaltiel did. He set his heart on Michal, but he was not really entitled to Michal. Michal was a married woman. Her husband was still alive. She was not actually available. And Phaltiel set his heart on that to which he was not entitled. Young men, don't set your heart on any young lady until you have talked to your father, and then you have talked to her father. Don't set your heart on any young lady, because her father might have something to say about that. Like, no, I don't like you. You're not marrying my daughter. He might just have something to say about that. don't set your heart on any young lady until you have talked to your father and he clears the young lady that you are interested in. And then don't set your heart on her even then because her father might have something to say about it. No. Forget it. Get out of here. There's the door. Don't set your heart on a young lady. Young ladies, don't set your heart on any young man before you have talked to your father. Because he might know something about that young man. He might say, no, he is not acceptable. Forget it. You are not marrying that kid, that boy, that young man. Yeah, he might be in our church. Yeah, he might be seemingly a decent young man, but you are not marrying him. Okay? Don't set your heart on that to which you are not entitled. Not until your father and the other father, the parents, I mean, including the mothers here in that statement, not till your parents and their parents both say yes, and then the other person says yes, do you have hope? Not until then do you have hope. Okay? Don't set your heart on it. If you do, it is most likely that you will have a heartbreak in store for you, like Faltiel here. He set his heart on Michael. She wasn't available to be had. And David took what was his back. Young men, behave properly and appropriately toward women. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Looking at the end of the chapter. This starts out by talking about a harlot, but it goes on to include the young man being the instigator. In verse 27, it changes tacks. Before verse 27, it was talking about a harlot and a young man being involved in a harlot. In verse 27, it is changing course and is including any bad decision a young man may make. Verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No, he can't. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? No, he can't. So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. I want you to notice verse 30, young men. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. That's talking about, young men, if you are starving, or you just need money, you need money to pay the bills, and you steal something to pay the bills, other people can forgive that. It's wrong, don't do it. But other people will understand and will be able to forgive. But this sin that we're talking about, taking another man's wife, and I should include taking another man's daughter without his consent, that's not very forgivable. Okay? That is very hard to overcome. Verse 31. But if he be found, a thief that steals to satisfy his soul, you stole to pay your bills. If he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You behave inappropriately or misappropriately toward a young lady, young man, and you are destroying your life. You will get a wound and dishonor that can never be wiped out. Behave appropriately toward women. The Bible says that women are the weaker vessel. The men who are in charge of those young ladies that you can do harm to, young men, are very protective of their young ladies. While I was shopping for my dad's gift, I just to get some ideas for something, it wasn't helpful, but anyway, just to see if it would be helpful, I typed in Christmas gifts for dad on eBay. And t-shirts were one of the things that came up. And one of the t-shirts I saw said something about, I believe in God. No, it said something about, my God, my gun, you will meet both if you mess with my daughter. I thought, you know, I'm going to need one of those t-shirts one day. I've got five daughters. I might need that t-shirt someday. That's what I'm talking about, young men. You touch one of my daughters, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving you. You touch any man's daughter, he's going to have a hard time forgiving you. Don't do it. And by touching, I mean offending in any way. Okay? Doing something you ought not do in any way. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. So you see, Abner, his relationship to Ishbosheth was destroyed because of Abner's inappropriate behavior toward a lady that Ishbosheth was responsible for. David, on the other hand, restored his marriage. He was rightfully entitled to have Michael be in his home. Falthiel messed up his own life by taking another man's wife when he should never have done so. Behave properly and appropriately toward women, young men, or you will destroy your life. Go back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. That's the first point this morning that I see in this chapter. Now we'll move on to the second point. And I think I am going to run out of time. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at Abner's turnaround. Verse 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of all the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. This is Abner's turnaround. Now, I don't know if Abner was guilty, if Ishbosheth was just too suspicious. But what I do know is that God can use bad men to cause His will to be done. God can use bad men to cause His will to be done. It was God's will for David to become the king over all Israel. Abner had stepped into the way of that happening when he had set up Ishbosheth as the king over Israel. And we see that Abner has done a turnaround, 180 degrees, turned all the way around, simply by what had happened with Rizpah, Saul's concubine. Now, but not only can God use bad men to affect his purposes, God can use the effects of sin to cause his purposes to be furthered. Notice I did not say God uses sin to further his purposes, but God uses the effects of man's sin to cause his purposes to be furthered. I want you to notice Abner's farewell to David. This farewell to David is a glimpse into Abner's heart. In verse 21, Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. Wait a second, Abner. When David was a shepherd boy, did he desire to reign over Israel? No. He had no such ambitions. He had no clue that this would ever be his fate, his history, his future, if you will. David's elevation to the throne was not by David's will or by David's ambition. It was not in his heart to reign over anything. It was by God's will that David was on the throne. This is a glimpse into Abner's heart, what the man was really like. You see, Abner is judging David by what is in his own heart. Remember the Amalekite that claimed to have killed Saul? And he thought, David is going to reward me. Why did he think that? Because that was how the Amalekite would have behaved if his enemy got killed by somebody. He would have rewarded the bad guy who had killed his enemy. The Amalekite had judged David by himself. David's going to do this because I would do it. Same thing here. Abner is judging David because that is what Abner is like. That is what Abner wants. Abner is the one that wants to reign over all that his heart desireth. And he is judging David by that standard. If it's in my heart, it's got to be in his heart. He insinuates that David has this great desire to reign over more and more things. Whereas that's not what was in David's heart. That was in Abner's heart. Men and women after God's own heart are not and should not be focused on their ambitions. David was not focused on his ambition. Who can I conquer? How many nations can I subject? He wasn't focused on that. That wasn't his big thing. And that should not be our big thing. Girls, are you paying attention? Rather, David's focus was on doing God's will. What is God's will for me? And that is what we should be doing today. As men and women who ought to be following after God's heart, we ought to be focused not on my ambition, but on what is God's will for me today. What does God want me to do today? And not only me personally, what does God want me to do? But to try to help others to see what God's will is for what God's will is in their lives. To help others to do God's will. That is what was David's ambition. God's will to be done. In my life, in my servants' lives, my kingdom. God's will to be done in my kingdom. Not how many people can I rule over. How many kings can I subject? That was in Abner's heart. Abner really wanted to be the power player in Israel. And we see that in that insinuation there, that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. Verse I'm totally out of time. So what is in our hearts? Do we have ambitions and goals that we must see accomplished? I've got to do this in my life. I've got to become this person. I've got to become a doctor. I've got to become a lawyer. I've got to become a great leader in politics or anywhere. Is that what is in our heart? Or are we like David? I just want God's will to be done. I want God's will to be done in my life, most of all. I want to choose what God wants for me. Is that what is in our heart? It sure ought to be. If that is what made David a great man, a great Christian, if you will. Of course, Christian is New Testament, but a great saint of the Old Testament. He wanted God's will to be done. Abner wanted Abner's will. Are we a David or are we an Abner? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this passage. Lord, thank you for the integrity of David, that when he could take advantage of his power, he did not. When he could take advantage of his authority, he submitted to you. Father, help us to be like David. Help us to be willing to do whatever your will is. Help us not to be an Abner, always trying to figure out the next strategic move. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless it for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.